Hey, Grace Point, did you hear about the fire at the shoe factory right next to the revival going on? Over 100 souls were saved. Am I live? Woo, can we edit that out of there? Hey, Pam said, please. Hey, good evening, Grace Point. Good to see you. They always told me to start your message with a joke. And my kids always told me, don't do it, Dad. That's a good reason why. Hope you're all doing great tonight. We're doing great. Just having a good week, aren't we, babe? So everything's going good. Tracy and Pam had a pizza date today, and you guys are doing good. They're satisfied, right? So good deal. Hope you're doing good. Pam made me some snickerdoodle cookies, so I'm doing well. She didn't bring you any? Did she bring you some?
No, she just brought this stuff.
She just brought that stuff, huh? Oh, my goodness. I can't believe she didn't bring you any snickerdoodles. They are good. You dip those in tea. Are we here for a Bible study or what? Okay. Well, Father, thank you so much for just everything you're doing in the world. And even though, like, there's a lot of stuff we could focus on, Lord, that we don't like, Jesus, you're Lord. And we, the redeemed, are going to spend the eons of eternity with you in heaven. And I don't know, Lord, we're going to be on there's going to be a new earth and a new heaven, and it's going to be awesome. We have nothing to worry about. Jesus, your Lord. We have nothing to fear. We do have work to do. We do have an assignment. All of us have an assignment. We have work to do. We have prayers to pray. We have faith to operate in, but we have absolutely nothing to fear. What time I am afraid, I will trust the Lord. So bless us tonight as we gather in your word. It's a movable feast, Lord. It's wonderful. Open our hearts and minds to the truth. The man doesn't live by bread only, but by every word that proceeds from your mouth, Lord. Give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Help me as I teach. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So praise the Lord. Hey, just want to say, if there's anybody out there watching from Grace Point, if your kids are going to the trampoline park Sunday at 5. Make sure you get on Altitude Heath, that website, and get them sign the waiver for that so they can go. If they're under 18, they need to sign the waiver. If you're out there and you got a teenager and they want to go to the trampoline park for free Sunday at 5 o'clock, be at the Altitude Trampoline Park there at the mall, okay? All right, well, if you have your Bibles, turn to Mark chapter 7. And I'm going to spend, like, the bulk of my time down there in verse 24, but there is some stuff here. We've been talking about the Jews and Gentiles, and just everywhere you go in the Bible, this theme is active. So I'm just going to keep going through these things. Starting in April, if you're a Grace Pointer and you live in the area, we're going to start our Wednesday night live Bible study downstairs. I think Evelyn's going to teach the first leg, and she might do Corinthians, what she's doing for Sunday school. So at 7 o'clock, that's the first Wednesday in April. Now, I'm going to keep teaching on YouTube. So we might record on Wednesdays, but not to conflict with our Wednesday night, we're going to broadcast on Thursdays starting in April instead of Wednesday, my broadcast. That way, if you go to the Bible study on Wednesday, if you want to hear mine, you can, and mine won't interfere with the Bible study downstairs. We really feel like at Grace Point that it's time to kind of move out, you know. We know we've really respected people's opinions, and there's a wide diversity of them. Some people haven't been coming to church because of COVID. I've talked to people recently. They've got their shots, and they feel more comfortable about coming. I mean, a lot of people have a lot of different views on it. You know my views. I've been outspoken. But we respect that. Not everybody feels the same. But I think people are starting to feel more comfortable coming back. So we're going to be kicking off our live Wednesday Bible study. And you can expect to see some other things, too, in the future. A men's Saturday discipleship thing is coming. It's in the works. I've been doing some praying and moving in that direction and some other things. But this, in April, will move to Thursday nights. And I think what I'm going to do is just systematically go through the book of Matthew. I've done it before, but I want to get it on YouTube because there are so many riches in there that you just miss when you're, you know, going topically. So I'm praying about it, but hope you can still watch Thursday nights in April at 7 o'clock. I'm going to do more teaching and more digging in deeper and not as much preaching as I've been doing on Wednesday nights. Okay, so if you have your Bibles, turn to Mark chapter 7, verse 14. We'll start there. When he had called all the people, who's he? Jesus. When Jesus had called all the people to him, he said, "Listen to me, every one of you, and understand." Isn't that something? Think about that. Jesus said, "Listen to me, every one of you, listen." Jesus is always telling people to listen. Whoever has ears to hear, you know, he says, "Listen." The book of Proverbs constantly saying, "My son, hearken unto me." You know why the Lord does that? Says that like emphatically, "Listen, every one of you." Why? If you have kids, you should know why. People don't listen. Have you ever been a counselor? You've ever counseled somebody? People don't tend to listen. And so Jesus is saying things like, "Verily, verily," or "Truly, truly, I say unto you." He wants your attention. He wants you to listen. He loves you. He wants you to get it. He's not saying these things so you don't get it. He's saying these things so you do get it. That's why he gave us the Holy Spirit. "There is nothing from outside a man that by entering him can defile him, but the things which come out of the man are what defile him." Now here he goes again. "If anyone has ears to hear, let her hear." When he had left the people and entered the house, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. He said to them, "Are you so without understanding also? Do you not know that anything from the outside enters a man, it cannot defile him, because it does not enter his heart." There's a revelation right there. "But into the stomach, and goes out into the sewer, which purifies all foods." He said, "What comes out of a man defiles him, for from within, out of the heart, proceed evil thoughts, adultery, fornication, murder, theft, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, and an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. All these things come from within and defile a man." Isn't that amazing? This translation here, does yours say, what verse does yours have, Charlie, where it says, "Thus he said, cleansing all foods"? 19. Verse 19. I did not read that here. That's funny. It doesn't have it in this translation. Interesting. So Jesus said, I don't know why it's not in this one. That's interesting. Huh. But he says, "Thus he said, purifying or cleansing all foods." The writer of Mark is telling you, when Jesus said this, he was saying that food doesn't defile you. Now, what did the law of Moses say? It defiled you. There were all kinds of foods. So Jesus, really, the Gospels, in a certain sense, are between the times. Jesus is Jewish. He lives under Jewish law, but he's fulfilling the Jewish law, and he is going to, after he fulfilled it, he's laying it aside. And he's coming under a new covenant, and the Jewish law is being laid aside after its fulfillment. And right here, already, he's speaking that all food is clean. You can eat pork. You can have bacon. Even really Jews, because he's telling Jews it's clean. Peter ate with the Gentiles and Galatians. That's why Paul rebuked him, right? But when does it really get clear that, you know, that all the food's been purified? You guys know in the word where it even more emphatically pronounces all food clean? In the book of Acts, chapter?
I don't know. It's when Peter was
chapter 10. Rise, Peter, kill and eat. And then in chapter 15 of Acts, they kind of finally settled it. They had a council and they settled it. So all meat, there's nothing that goes into your belly. But see, there was a, Jesus is kind of coming in between the times. He said, until the time of John the Baptist, he goes, there was the law and the prophets. Now I'm preaching the kingdom of God and people are pressing into it violently. And the reason I say that is we're going to talk about a Gentile woman. And and this theme I've been giving, I'm just layering it. Because Larry, you said you're right. I go too fast sometimes. I study this stuff and I feel like a machine gun Kittle. I remember Scott. I can't think of his last name right now. But anyways, Brother Scott was telling me. He said, "I remember the first time that you preached at VGF." He said, "It just reminded me of a machine gun Bible." I got to slow down when I'm teaching. I definitely have to slow down. But you just get into the Word. Isn't the Word of God lovely? I mean, I was listening to Andrew Womack this week. I have a podcast with him. And he said during COVID, he spends like 8 hours a day in the Word, like sometimes. I get it. I do. I don't spend that much, but I can. I mean, I get it. In the morning when I get up, I could sit down easily for 4 hours and just be in the Word. And it's a never, if you are bored with, I want to stand up, but I'm not going to. If you are bored with the Word, you there's something not right. Because the Word of God, it renews your mind, it restores your soul, it sets you right. I get so many times where I'll be discouraged or bad news will come or, curveballs will be thrown at you. People won't act the way you think they should. All this stuff goes on, and you can just about, your mind goes, or you hear news, what the government's doing. All kind of stuff. And you can kind of get topsy-turvy and spinning around. But when you get up in the morning and you press in and get in the Word, it's all of a sudden the Holy Spirit will speak to you. He calms you down. He tells you everything's going to be okay. I got you. You start reading the promises. Why are you worried? Why are you fearful? Fear not. And you just, it encourages you. It's just fascinating, the Word of God. And so we're going to be going through a little bit slower here and really more meticulously, so I can teach you some of this stuff that the Lord shows me. All right, we're going to move on. Just understand that they're in between the times, kind of the law and the prophets. Now the kingdom of God is being preached, and they're going to move into the Gentile dispensation as we go further in the book. Peter talked about present truth. Did you know that? Yeah, talk about present truth. He said the present truth. Because there's truth in the past. If you were a Jew in Jerusalem in 1200 B.C. or 800 B.C., your truth would have been the law. The truth now is the gospel, and it's the gospel of God's grace, Jew and Gentile alike. It's not that that wasn't true. It was true. It's not that it isn't true, but that's not the present truth. We have a new covenant. We don't live under that old. We have a new one. It's the present truth. So let's read on about this Syrophoenician woman, Mark chapter 7, verse 24. From there he arose and went to the region of Tyre and Zidon. Isn't that a Gentile area? He entered a house and would have no one to know it, yet he could not be hidden. Isn't that something? For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, and she was a Syrophoenician by race, and she begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. And I love this. Jesus said, "Let the children first be filled, for it is not fitting to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." Okay. Why was she a dog? Jesus said she was. Gentile. And that's how the Jews considered Gentiles, okay? They were without a covenant. They were pagan. Now, I know Jesus is loving her. I know he is, because you know Jesus, but he's dealing with her, and I'm sure he knows what's going to happen already. But there's something interesting. He said, "Let the children eat first." Now, who were the children? Israel. And even, Charlie, even when Jesus, I think it's in Matthew 8, he talks about the children of the kingdom coming from the east and the, he's talking about the Jews. And so I always used to wonder, who's he talking about there? He's talking about the Jews, the children of the kingdom. In fact, as you read further in Matthew, you read, he talks about the children of the kingdom rejecting their Messiah, and they get kicked out of the vineyard and all these things. He's talking about the Jews there. So he is saying, before the Gentiles eat, the Jews must eat first. Now, what does that click in your brain? That should click a thought. What? How does Paul deal with that? Flip over to Romans chapter 1. I'm going slow, Larry. I want you, this principle is throughout the New Testament, and it's going to continue in Paul's ministry. But Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who... If you're not experiencing the power, what's going on? You're not believing. It's that, don't call God a liar. Don't call, I'm looking at the invisible people. Don't call God a liar. You're not believing. Because the gospel is the power of God. Salvation is deliverance. It's freedom from sin. It's healing. It's blessing. It's God's grace, unmerited favor on your life. Did I say you wouldn't have trials, temptations, attacks? No. Paul had many. He's the one that wrote this. No, you have many. Many temptations, many trials, many attacks. But salvation belongs to you by God's grace to those that believe. I could preach on that. I won't. He said, it's the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also the Gentile, the Greek. Isn't that something? And that's Paul's theme throughout. Do you notice when Paul went into a city, where did he go first? To the Jews. He went into the synagogue. He'd always go. It even says, as was his custom. Why? Because to the Jew first. He'd go in and preach. They would normally reject him. Not always. They would normally reject him. And he'd say, well, you guys, since you don't consider yourself worthy of salvation, I'm going to go to the Gentiles. And as we talked about previously, over time, the whole church became a Gentile church, and very few Jews were saved. By 120 AD, all the power of the church was in Gentile hands. The church in Jerusalem was done, 70 AD, destroyed. All the power, it actually switched to Rome eventually, the Bishop of Rome, not the Catholic Church, but they had these big churches in the Gentiles, the gospel. But it went to the Jew first. Well, that's what Jesus is saying. Let the children first be filled, for it is not fitting to take what belongs to the children and give it to the dogs. So, what is Jesus saying belongs to the children here? Definitely the gospel. Is there something specific here? What's this woman asking for? She's asking for healing and deliverance. He is calling it the children's bread. And Larry, he's saying it belongs to them. It belongs to them. It's their inheritance, is what he's saying. So he's saying, and we're going to feed them first. You Gentiles are coming later. But, and so this woman's humility is rewarded. See, Jesus is living in between the times. The law and the prophets were until John. Now the kingdom of God is being preached, and the gospel to Jews and Gentiles is coming. So he's kind of in between these times. He's fulfilling the old, and he's bringing the new. Okay, now he's got this Gentile woman. Okay, and she answered, yes, Lord, but even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. Is this a humble statement? Very humble. It's always good to be humble. Humble amongst each other, humble with the Lord. It's always good to be humble. Said, even the dogs eat it. Then he said, and now this is another powerful lesson, for this saying, go your way, the demon has gone out of your daughter. Does this sound like it was hard for Jesus to get rid of that demon? It sounded like it was hard. Did he struggle and fast 3 days and roll around and scream and yell, which I've seen people do? No, he did not. He had the goods. He didn't even say, come out in Jesus' name, my preference. He just said, it's gone for this saying. And when she had gone to her house, she found the demon had gone, just like Jesus said, and her daughter was lying on the bed. Now, humility was rewarded because Jesus called her a dog without covenant. She stayed humble, and he answered. But I want to say this, and I want to get somewhere in this, back to our lesson about Jews and Gentiles. But what was rewarded with this woman? What did Jesus reward? Of course, her humility. What? Her faith. He rewarded her faith. Doesn't it say in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, says, without faith, it's impossible to please him, because he that comes to him, think of this woman coming to Jesus. The woman that comes to Jesus must believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and he is a rewarder of those that diligent, she didn't give up. He said, no, doesn't belong to you. Did she give up? No, she diligently sought him. So without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder. Menti, God's a rewarder. If you don't give up, he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Okay, so he rewarded her faith. Now here's, this is powerful. How did she release her faith? It's a powerful lesson if we can grab it. People don't like it. People don't like this truth because it makes us accountable, makes us responsible in some manner. How did she release her faith? Jesus said, because of this saying, she said, she spoke her faith. The number one way that we release our faith, Charlie, is speaking. Do you know, like today, I do it all the time, you know. Me and this brother, I ran into a brother, big dude at the gym today. He's a big, big dude. And him and I were starting to share. And he goes to More Life Church, just a great brother. And we were sharing. Guy's getting huge. He's huge. You know, he's got arms the size of my legs, you know. We just started talking and sharing. And we started talking about the power of confession, speaking the Word of God. And he was telling me testimonies, and I was telling him testimonies. And I was thinking about this. I had been studying this in the morning. We both agreed. We always say what the Bible says. We want to stay physically fit because I want to be healthy to serve God into my hundreds, you know, 90s and hundreds. You know, they're going to need a pastor here. I don't have another one right now unless Charlie takes over when I retire. But I want to serve God and I want to be healthy. And there are promises in the Bible. You know, the Bible says in Psalms 103 that your youth will be restored like the eagles. I literally believe that. Why do I believe it? That's why I believe for you, Larry. And some of your weaknesses you express, I don't believe that. I believe for you. I told a couple this week, the Lord gave me a word for them about being fat and flourishing. You know, it means anointed. As they get older, God wants to bless them. It was a good thing I explained it, huh? Sonny said she about had a heart attack when I told him they were going to be fat. But it means as they get older, they're going to be flourishing and fat. When I see that as the Word of God and it makes a promise in there, I know that Jesus has fulfilled the covenant and that promise belongs to me. So the way I release my faith in that is I tell the Lord, Lord, you are renewing my youth like the eagles. God, you are keeping me young and strong. Jesus, Psalms 27:1, you are the strength of my life. Don't I, babe? I say it. Lord, you're the strength of my life. God, you renew my strength like the eagles. You know, I'm going to be fit and in shape, and I'm going to be healthy. Now, I eat fairly good. I don't eat perfect, but I try to take care of myself. But I am, why? Because I am releasing my faith in what I'm believing God for in His Word. Man doesn't live by bread only, but he lives by every word that comes from God. And now sometimes people don't get it, or they insult you, or, you know, people send you stuff about the, you know, the name it and claim it. Now, I don't care what people say. I don't care. I mean, I do care because I love people, but I don't care. If I have to believe you or the Word of God, you can preach whatever you want to preach. You can tell people that Mark 11:23-24 doesn't work, that you can't have what you say, that you can't believe God. You can tell people that all day long. It ain't going to faze me because I know what Jesus said. He said it in many places. He didn't say it in one place. He said it in Luke. He said it in Mark. He said it in John. He said it in Matthew. He said it through Paul. He said it through Peter. I ain't going to believe you. You can make fun of believers. You can mock people that believe the Bible. You can call them health and wealth and prosperity people. You can name them whatever you want. I am going to believe the Bible, not you. The Bible says you can have what you say. That's what it says in the Word of God. And it says it over and over and over and over and over again. Jesus said in Matthew 6 that by your words you'll be justified, or by your words you'll be condemned. So I want to speak faith words. This gospel is called the word of faith, and I don't mean a denomination. I don't mean a movement. I'm talking about, Paul calls it the word of faith. Why? Because you got to believe it and release it. You get saved. You got saved when you went down to that altar and you said, Jesus, your Lord, had to come out of your mouth from your heart. Am I angry? No. But I'm not bending or bowing to name calling. I know what the Bible says. I read it. I try to believe people that doubt it, and I can't because I go back in and I see it again. Jesus rewarded, okay, I'll calm down. Jesus rewarded this woman for what she said. If she'd have said, no, you're right, I'm a dog. I don't know what Jesus would have done. Get back here. I don't know what he'd have done. But she didn't, and that's why she's in the book. She humbled herself. She agreed with God. She spoke, and Jesus said, for this saying, your daughter is healed. I'm only talking about saying what God is saying. Peter said this book is full of exceedingly great and precious promises. Put them in your belly. Speak them out of your mouth. Well, Brother Brad, what if I do that and it doesn't happen? You haven't lost a thing. What if you don't do it? Nothing will happen. And by the way, we grow in this thing. You grow by exercising your faith. And you see that God does what he says every time. And as you exercise your faith, Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, Pam, he said, your faith groweth exceedingly. It grows. It's a fruit. And your faith can grow. It comes out of a relationship with a living God. This woman had to be in proximity to Jesus because he was on earth. And she had a relationship with him. She pressed in, and she had an individual encounter with him. And Pam, he's the same yesterday and today and forever. I've been asking the Lord about anointing, and every time I ask God, Charlie, you probably know this, I'm going to ask you. I say, Lord, how do you increase your anointing? You know, so I'm in the Word all the time, and I said, how does a person increase their anointing? What do you think he said to me, Charlie?
Speaking words of faith.
Well, speaking words of faith, yep. You have to do that, right? You know what he keeps telling me? He said, spend time with me. He said, people that spend time with me, I get on them. That's where your anointing comes from, Charlie. You spend time with the Lord, and he gets on you. Do you know that? You ever notice when you get around some, here I go again. You ever notice when you get around somebody, a lot of times you kind of start becoming more like them? Especially when you admire them, or you, I won't say worship them, or you adore them or look up to them. I remember when I first was a Christian, there were guys that were really strong in the Lord, and I used to kind of hang around them. And then all of a sudden, I had one lady said, Brad, you just sounded just like, and she told me, Andy. She goes, you just sound just like Andy. Well, I was imitating him because I admired him, and he had faith, and he was bold. And so she goes, you just sounded like, well, yeah, because I was hanging out with him. You want to increase your anointing. Yeah, you want to speak the word, you want to speak things, but you hang around Jesus. That's what that woman did. She got in proximity to Jesus, and she actually came and worshiped at his feet. You want to increase your anointing, go spend time with Jesus. You know what Jesus called in Mark? I think it was in chapter 1, could have been 2, maybe. No, actually it was chapter 3 of Mark. Do you know what he called his disciples to do? Said he called them out, 12 of them, named them by name. And you know what he called him to do? I'm going to find the exact verse in chapter 3. I think it's, yep, it's in verse 14 and 15. Chapter 3, he called them that they might be with him. If you're going to be a disciple of Jesus, you have to spend time with him. How are you going to follow Jesus if you don't spend any time with him, right? You got to spend, that's time in the Word, maybe coming to church and fellowshipping, and it's also seeking the Lord, okay? That's back to Hebrews 11. He that comes to God must believe he is, and that he rewards those that, what? Diligently seek him. Right back to that again. That's where faith comes from. The anointing of God, faith, you know, it comes from seeking God and spending time in His presence. And then He anoints you for whatever you're called to do. It's preaching or witnessing or just being a good dad, being a baseball coach or whatever He's calling you to do, being a power washer on houses, you know, delivering groceries to people. He'll give you energy and anointing when you prioritize Him. And that's what He did to this woman. And she got in proximity to Him and she touched Him and she said, then she spoke faith and then He rewarded her. Isn't that good? So, Jesus said, by your words you'll be justified and by your words you'll be condemned. Folks, we should always be speaking and saying what God says. See, I talked about Sunday, Charlie. Man is three-dimensional. We have a body. We live in a fleshly world. We have a mind, but we have a spirit. To live and speak the words of God consistently, and we don't all do it. I'm not perfect at this. I'm not. We know that. I'm not perfect at it all. But we have to, as we learn to live out of our spirit and live in the Spirit, and learn to follow the Spirit, you know, we'll pick up on, like today and this week, God's been saying, do this, and speaking into my spirit, and I've been doing what the Lord's been telling me, and it's been having, it's great, it's awesome. And I've had times in the past where God's told me very similar things, and I didn't do it, and I didn't get the rewards, because if you're living and being led by the Spirit, if you're in connection with the Lord, and you're speaking out of your spirit, you're speaking faith. But the enemy is always trying to get our minds. Doesn't the Word say if our hearts are stayed on Him, we'll have perfect peace? Doesn't the Word say whatever's lovely, whatever's true, whatever's of good report, think on these things? Doesn't the Word say take every thought captive to the obedience of God? Doesn't it say that in the Bible? So that Satan's job is always to distract us and get us thinking about this or that, this symptom, that symptom, this person, that person, this attack, that attack. Get us to think about all the stuff because he knows if we stay steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, we're going to succeed. Come up here, get us to think about Joe Biden, worry about Joe Biden, and then someone says something mean to us, maybe on Facebook, we're going to think about that for a while, and someone left the church, we're going to stew on that for a while. Was it my fault, their fault, Larry's fault? What happened? You know, you're going to, so Larry, Charlie says it's Larry's fault. You're going to stew on that for a while, then you're going to think about that, and pretty soon, your heart is everywhere, but where it needs to be, which is focused on the Lord. When Peter was walking on the water, he was walking on the Word. Jesus said, come here. That's a word. Come here. When Peter was walking on the water, he was looking right, fixing his mind on Jesus, like it says in Colossians chapter 3, fixing his mind on, he was good. Then all of a sudden, the Second Amendment was being discussed on CNN, and he looked over here. Then all of a sudden, someone was talking about the vaccine, how it was going to kill him, and he looked over here. Then all of a sudden, someone was talking about, well, you know, and next thing you know, Lord, I'm sinking. The world scared me again. You know, all this stuff that you hear, because he took his eyes off Jesus. And maybe there is bad news over here. Maybe you're not supposed to be looking at that. You pray about it. You're supposed to be looking at Jesus, because your heart will be kept at peace. I know if you've been looking at Jesus, Larry, because your heart won't be all anxious, right? We always tell on, I do too. We always tell on ourselves by what comes out of our mouth. Because out of the abundance of the heart, Pam comes home and she's, and mouth speaks. Pam comes home and she's worried, she's fretting. I know right away, man, it comes right out of her mouth. You know, uh-oh, Pam's fretting. She got something. Now, as a loving husband, full of the Holy Ghost, I just come up to Pam and I say, Pam, tell me all about it. Sit down on the couch. We cry a little bit together. And then I say, well, maybe you should think about it this way, Pam. And she hugs me and kisses me and says, you're right, Brad. That's exactly how I'll think about it. Every time. Every time. Every time. Praise the Lord. Or something like that. I didn't even intend to be that long. What time is it, Larry? I got to get to this one part. Well, we're doing good. So flip over to Romans. This ties into what we've been talking about, Romans 15. Do you know, the Lord's been doing this to me, and about different things. But a lot of times it's the scripture. This was last week or the week before. I literally woke up and I'm laying in bed. You ever get in that half awake state? And the Lord spoke to me. He said, "Have you considered Romans 15? Just in the back of my subconscious. "Have you considered Romans 15? I'm like, "Romans 15? No. You know, laying there like, I don't even realize it's the Lord. And I wake up and I set up and I go make coffee and I'm like, that was the Lord. He asked me if I had considered Romans 15. And I thought, what's in Romans 15? And I know, I was thinking about it. And so I got into Romans 15. Isn't that something? He does it all the time to me now. I'll wake up with the scripture on my mind. I didn't know it before, but Larry, now I know it's the Holy Ghost or it's Jesus speaking through the Holy Ghost. Have you thought about this? Or he'll even talk to me about people. I'll wake up and it'll be like, call this person. I had on my board this week someone at the church, and it said, I wrote down the Lord. I was just thinking about him. Do you know when you think about someone a lot, the Lord is probably calling you to call them, write them a letter, or pray for them. I just kept thinking. I wrote on my board, call this person. And then at lunch that day, Pam was telling me about news in this person's life. I needed to call him. And I called him. We had a great conversation. And it was very necessary that I called them. But they were coming up out of my subconscious, which is what? My spirit. They were coming up. But today I had people in my spirit. I've called a few people. Yesterday I had people. And I'm learning. This is the Lord. He's coming up out of my spirit. You ever think about someone, Lara, and they're on your mind? A lot of times that's the Lord. If it's a quick passing thought, this is all free stuff. If it's a quick passing thought, it may not be the Lord. But if I just keep coming back over and over, coming back, the Lord's talking to you. Pray for him. Call him. Do something. So the Lord woke me up, and I was laying there, and he said, "Have you considered Romans 15? I said, "No, I haven't." So let's get into Romans 15. Let's consider Romans 15. Let's start, with verse 7. Paul says, "Therefore, welcome one another," or accept one another, "just as Christ has also accepted us for the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ has become a servant to the circumcised on behalf of the truth of God." Who are the circumcised? Jews. "To confirm" what? "Or to fulfill or to confirm the promises made to the fathers." Get this. Two parts. "To fulfill or to confirm the promises made to the fathers." That's the Jewish fathers, the patriarchs. "And that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. For this reason, I will acknowledge you among the Gentiles, and I will sing praise to his name." He also says, "Rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people." And again, "Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Let all the peoples praise him." And Isaiah says, "There shall be a root of Jesse. He shall rise to reign over" who? Gentiles. "In him the Gentiles shall hope." Two quotes from Psalms, I believe two quotes from Isaiah there. This Gentile inclusion was spoken of in the Old Testament. Isn't it amazing that they didn't get it, that Peter didn't get it, and these guys didn't understand it? And here it was buried in there the whole time about how God was going to include these Gentiles. But see, that was to the Jews first, so he fulfilled or confirmed all the promises that were made to the fathers first. He had to take care of business. He had to feed the children first, and then once that was done, Matthew 5:17, he says, he talked about fulfilling the righteousness of the law, right? When we talked about that, Matthew 5:17, about fulfilling the righteousness of the law, he did that first, and after that was done, now the Gentiles have been included. Have the Gentiles started a new branch or a new tree? No, they have not. So I wanted to show you that. That's why the Lord said, "Have you considered that?" He fulfilled, he became a minister to the circumcision to fulfill the promises to the fathers and so that the Gentiles would praise God for his mercy. Isn't that good? Now, last scripture tonight, and then we're going to end. It's Matthew 5:7, where he talks about fulfilling all righteousness. Flip over to Ephesians chapter 2. We'll end here. And I could really, and I may backtrack a little bit here because there's so much here, I could really spend a lot of time, but I don't want to. Is it 2:40 yet? Or 2:40? Is it 7:40? Okay, so I'm a little late, so I'm just going to tap it and I'm going to shut it off, okay? There's much more I could go over. Therefore, remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision in the flesh with human hands. Jesus was a minister to the circumcision. Were at that time, apart from Christ, alienated from the citizenship of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise. You were without hope and without God in the world, but now in Christ, those powerful words there, you who were formerly far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who has made both groups one and has broken down the barrier or the dividing wall by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, that in himself he might make out of two one new man. And Larry, you should do a study on the new man. Just go through Paul's, the new man, one new man. I've taught on this many times. Who is the one new man? That's why you got to repeat stuff. It's Christ. He's the new man, and you're in him. That's why there's not Jew or in Galatians, he said, there's neither Jew nor Greek, male or female, slave. You're all what? One. In who? Christ. He's the new man. And you're in him. You're that new man in Christ. Powerful stuff. Okay. Woo, one new man. That's powerful. There's more there than we imagine. All right. Ooh. He might make the two, Jews and Gentiles, into one new man, therefore making peace, that he might reconcile both to God in his body through the cross, thereby slaying the enmity. And he came and brought peace, or preached peace to you who are far away, Gentiles, and preached peace to those who are near, Jews. For through him, both Jews and Gentiles have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now, therefore, Larry, you are no longer a foreigner or a stranger, but you are a fellow citizen with the saints, and you are a member of the household of God. Not a new household, the one that was always there. It's the root of Jesse. It came through David. It came through Jesus. It's the Jewish tree. It's the Jewish olive tree. You've been grafted into it. Not a new Gentile tree. The Jews were lopped off because of unbelief, the ones that didn't believe. But it's the same Jewish tree. It's just Gentiles have been grafted into it. Don't have time to go to Romans 11, but that's where it's at. Okay? So the promises that were made to the Jews, the children's bread, belongs to who? You, Gentiles. Woo! You're in the tree. Hallelujah. Having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the entire building, fitly framed together, grows, oh, we could go somewhere here, but we don't have time, into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together. That's Jews and Gentiles. That's all of us here. We're being built together into a dwelling place of God through the Spirit. Jews and Gentiles, we're all together in one big happy family. That's what Jesus did. So I know the Jews got lopped off for unbelief. Paul said they can be grafted back in. If they don't believe, they'll be saved. There's only one tree. Only one. It's the Jewish one that we've been grafted into. But that's good news because all the promises are ours. Go ahead, Charlie. We're in the Jewish tree.
The Bible says that so many are, that in Galatians 3, it says so many as of our faith are the children of Abraham.
Right, we are the children of Abraham. That is correct. We are the children of Abraham. We've been adopted. We've been grafted in. Okay. And I'll tell you what, that the flesh, really, it's a spiritual operation anyway. Yep. Doesn't matter what your flesh is. The flesh, they had a covenant with God. That was the whole deal. Jesus came through there. That's why God had to destroy the world under Noah, because that whole seed would have never come. I talked about it Sunday. If he hadn't destroyed the world, that righteous seed would have never came into the earth to save everybody. And God's plan was salvation all along. Father, thank you for this simple lesson tonight. There's a lot of stuff in there, good stuff, I hope. And man, I think it's worth listening to again, Lord. It's powerful stuff. And thank you for it. Thank you for what you did, including us Gentiles, us dogs. Woo! Formerly dogs. I'm no longer a dog, Jesus. I have a covenant with God because of Jesus. I've been grafted in. All the promises are yes and amen to this old Gentile Brad by the grace of God. And I thank you, God. You have one person in this world, if not more, that's grateful tonight. It's me. I'm grateful, Jesus. I thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your grace on my life. I surely need it, Lord. Day by day, I bless you, Lord. I thank you, God, and I worship you in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll see you next time.